DZUP Special Features.
Magandang umaga. This is DZUP Special Features. Ako muli si Gian Nebrojo. Samahan kaming pakinggan muli ang forum na of alternative facts and multiple truths na ginanap noong April 27, 2017 sa UP College of Mass Communication Auditorium. Ito'y handog sa atin ng UP College of Mass Communication, Department of Broadcast Communication. Ating muling pakinggan.
Facts and multiple truths.
A contemplation and a conversation.
I am Brace Espejo.
And I'm China Gabriel, and we will be your hosts for this afternoon's event. Now, this event is all about fake news.
That's right.
And fake news is everywhere right now, right?
Everywhere. As in media, on your phones, on your computers, televisions, radio, it's everywhere. Minsan, pagbukas mo ng Facebook, may makita kang friend mo na nag-share ng post ni Mo Kauson, saying na, oy, tama yan mga ka-DDS and all. What a way to start your mornings.
Triggered. But yeah, guys, that's the problem. I mean, what if we live in a world where everything that we believe to be factual is actually pure fiction? Paano na yan?
Diba, syempre, medyo nakasabog ng ulo yun kasi may mga makuha tayong balita tapos ang provided pala sa atin ay nakuha from sources na hindi maayos and nagpo-provide lang ng peking information. Siyempre, di ba, hindi nakakatuwa yun.
That's true. And that's the point. That's why we're here today because as media students, we should be at the forefront of the fight against fake news.
That's right.
At this point, I would like to thank all of the people who have made this event possible, starting with the University of the Philippines Office of the President for providing tokens for our speakers, the College of Mass Communication Office of the College Secretary, and the Graduate Studies Office, and finally, the Department of Broadcast Communication.
Of course, we'd like to thank also these classes, COM 140 FWX, COM 100 HOU, COM 130 HWX, I'm sorry, and COM 130 FRU, all under Sir Boots Likigan. And let's all acknowledge the presence of these classes, J123 of Professor Jimmy Domingo, J136 of Dr. Jose Luiste, J101 of Professor Ivy Mendoza, BC196 of Professor Angelo Palmones, and BC164 of Professor Irma Mutuk. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all for being here. Now, to tell us more about the significance of this event, why we're all here, we'd like to call on our professor, Sir Boots Likigan.
So, good afternoon once again. I'm glad that we have a very good set of, a good number of attendees today. So, I'll just keep this very, very short, okay? Medyo formal siya. Alright, so in this day and age, media and communication technologies have opened doors to a virtually unlimited amount of information. We are constantly bombarded with various kinds of truths that some producers of these truths argue that they offer alternative facts. The neology alternative fact can be loosely referred to as a narrative or a truth disguising as objective and factual. Producers of alternative facts appeal to the audience's naivete by masking such facts using generic conventions of news and other trustworthy sources of legitimate information. With the UPCMC's vision of developing a media that is socially responsible, critical and vigilant, liberative and transformative, free and independent, the proliferation and propagation of alternative facts is a cause for concern. This event that we have right now is an effort to reiterate to each and every one of us here of our roles in realizing this vision. Our guest speakers are experts in their respective fields and are actively engaged in the debate against alternative facts. In celebration of this year's CMC Week, it is fitting that criticality and vigilance be reinforced among us, agents of media and communication. We hope that our engagement with each other today will be as fruitful and enlightening, and that we go out of these halls with more passion to preserve the integrity and dignity of the media profession that we are in. With that, I would like to welcome everyone to this panel discussion titled Of Alternative Facts and Multiple Truths, A Conversation and Contemplation. Thank you.
Ngayon na yung part na mag-open forum. At ito na yung chance nyo guys para itanong at kausapin ng ating mga speakers kung kayo ay may mga katanungan. Ang open forum natin ay entitled, Yung Totoo.
So, yung Totoo.
Yes, Yung Totoo. So basically, pwedeng tatanong kayo, pero huwag nyo kakalimutan sa dulo ng inyong question, itanong nyo yung totoo. For example, Sir, pwede na po bang may consider na journalist si Mocha Uson? Yung totoo. So yun lang, punta kayo sa gitna ng hall, may mic dyan. Don't forget to introduce yourself and then ask your question basta sa dulo,
yung totoo.
Tayo ay i-take natin ito na oportunidad dahil bibihira natin itong nagagawa. Okay? At bibihira din sila na makapag-share sa atin. Okay? So, pwede ko bang i-request ang aking mga estudyante na simulan? Huwag na tayong mahiya. Ito ay isang collegial na event. Okay? Yes. At saka ano lang naman ito, chikahan din naman ito. Matalinong chikahan. Okay? So, pwede ba nating anyayahan ang mga estudyante ng COM 100, COM 130, at COM 140 na simulan para sa lahat?
Please, introduce yourself, ask your question, and end it with Yung Totoo.
Yung Totoo.
Hello. Yan. Hi, I'm Jazz Jimelo, third-year Broadcom student. So, tanong ko lang po sa, actually kay anyone, ano pong masasabi nyo dun sa mga taong nagsishare pa ng alam naman nila na hindi totoo yung, for example, alternative fact, tapos sinishare pa nila, and just to say, parang just to comment na, may i-quote sila, tapos sasabihin nila nakakainis naman, hindi yan totoo, pero they're not adding to it. What can you say about that? Yung totoo. Like, for example po, let's say a friend shared a Mocha Uson blog. And then, nagdagdag lang siya. Parang sinabi niya, di ba may option to repost on Facebook? And then, parang just ranted about it. Do you think it adds to, parang, what do you think yung implication nun? Nadadagdagan ba yung awareness ng tao? And nagiging, mas naniniwala ba sila dun sa sinasabi ng taong yon? Or mas naniniwala ba sila dun sa nilalaman nung nirepost niya?
Ang totoo, mahirap sagutin, sabi na nga ni Dean, no? okay, simulan ko. Fake news feeds on attention. So the more you give attention, nag-share ka, kahit sabihin mong fake news ito, pakibasa, yun yung gusto nila. In fact, binabayaran sila sa dami ng shares nila, ng hits, no? Mm-hmm. So pwede naman mag-comment ka, mag-screen grab ka na lang. Ginagawa naman nating lahat yon kapag screen grab. Tapos, ilagay mo lang yung opinion mo, then share it. No? At least palang wala na yung link. Kasi dun sa link sila kumikita eh. The moment na mapunta ka dun sa site nila na link na yun, bumibilang na sila, no? Nang nalimpak-limpak na sa lapi na wala tayo. Ayun. Pwede naman gawin yun to educate. Pero again, parang hindi ka nag-educate kasi...
Yes.
Kasi tinutulungan mo sila para lalong lumaganap.
So ayun. Is it better na lang po ba na parang you just don't address it at all? Or...
Ako hindi ko pinapansin, kahit alam ko may anon. Nabubwisit na lang ako doon sa mga kaibigan ko na... Kasi God, meron akong kaibigan, Professor, share ng... Yun na yata mukhang hindi niya alam, no? na fake news yung kanya sineshare. So hindi ko na lang binibira or... Pinsan, kinakausap ko, personal kung makikita ko. Sinasabihan ko siyang tanga siya. No?
Oh my God.
Parang no point denying, no? Parang ayoko na euphemism, di ba? Parang hindi needs improvement, eh. Talaga lang... ignoramus, no? Si Dean baka may masabi sa kasi attorney.
Agree ako dun sa sinabi ni Doc about screen grab na lang. So kasi syempre may social media page ako. I work in coordination with some counter propaganda team na ang anong talaga namin tactic kung may i-address kaming fake news is screen grab siya. Ako ang ginagawa ko, very basic lang ako, print screen, cut and paste ko sa Paint, tapos ika-cut ko dun sa Paint, tapos save as JPEG or PNG. Yeah. Tapos, I have to post a good counter or substantive reply. Yes. Hindi pwedeng yung ano lang, parang this is wrong, this is fake news. Kasi, kahit nagawin ko yung pag-share ng screen grab lang, kung wala akong substantive response, yung iba ko pa ding friends, and by the way, I have friends who, like sabi kanina ni Dean, I engage pa din with people who have contrary views, no? So may mga diehard Duterte friends pa din ako on my personal page. So, yun, is screen grab siya. But, ako ang suggestion ko to add on that is to choose our battles. So, hindi lahat ng peke, papatulan mo na. Yung pinakamalala na lang, kasi, ano eh, konti lang attention span natin, konti lang ang attention span ng iba, yung pinakamalala na lang. Kasi if you post about it every day, every post na mali, one, mababog down ka. Mm-hmm. And then second, mawawala mo yung attention ng iba. Yung sa pinaka-importante na lang, yung papatulan.
So, sorry, follow-up question lang. Since sinabi niyo po, kayo ay isang social media,
So, I have a public page.
Public page po. So, how often do you, like, respond to the comments dun po sa page? For example, may nagsabi na against dun
sa comment nyo. So, I'm a full-time teacher kasi. But, in my spare time, kapag hindi masyado busy sa final exam, sa mga ganun, I have time to engage. So, but then, I also selectively choose who to engage. Okay. Usually, kung sino din yung top likes. So, my page is set up na ang first comment na makikita mo is yung may pinakamadaming likes. Mm-hmm. If negative yon or fake news, or ina-ad hominem ako, magre-respond ako. But only dun sa, ano na, mga top two na popular comments.
Ayan. I guess, ito po for attorney. Na-mention niyo po kasi yung, like, you believe more on the European approach to freedom of speech, which is, parang some speech has to be parang censored. And parang kasi po here in the Philippines, we actually more believe that the less restriction on the free speech, the better. So gusto ko po malaman, if we were to actually adapt the restriction to the European approach to actually combat against fake news, ano po yung masasacrifice namin? What will we lose in turn so that what will we lose in turn so that we can fight against fake news? Yung totoo po.
So, before I answer, ano yung trade-off ng following the European approach? Ano ba yung philosophical basis ng American and European approach? So, it's still the marketplace of ideas. But for the American approach, marketplace, medyo capitalist, no? Kaya mali na agad. People assume na you can buy and sell ideas equally, competitively. Na parang people can just go to the better idea and I won't buy a stupid idea. But that is already false. Kasi nga psychologically, based on our research, based on the academic literature, we know people are fundamentally irrational, right? So, ang analogy ko dyan sa marketplace, may marketplace pa din sa European approach. But in the European approach, sa marketplace, can you sell double dead meat? Can you sell toxic toys to children in the marketplace? Hindi din, right? So the reality is, mali yung conception ng freedom of speech ni na Milton, John Stuart Mill na marketplace of ideas will naturally regulate the best idea. Hindi eh. Meron din talagang toxic like double dead meat or mga fake news nga. Ang consequence ng following the European approach is we have to have a stronger system of legal and journalistic and other expert-based assessment of what is the reality, what is the fact. We have to draw a line. Hindi tayo, kasi alam mo sa academe, uso na yung postmodernism, uso na yung there's no objective reality. That is true critically, no? We can be very critical. But for our baseline level in a democracy to function, we have to agree na there are baseline facts. The Holocaust happened, EJK is happening, and EJK is happening more now than before, and EJK is happening now to non-NPAs. So dati, if ever, there were EJKs, it was more to communists and NPA. Still bad, but not as pervasive as now. Totally different yung extent, no? So, EJK denial, nangyayari yan. Holocaust denial sa ibang bansa. Sa Europe nga, genocide, Holocaust denial. So, the consequence is, one, we have to strengthen our institutions, experts, and be ready to be accused of having hate speech. Kunwari, dapat you're willing, all of us citizens, na we can be accused na you're saying a lie, you're saying fake news, or you're saying something that is not true, but may due process kasi. So, the consequence is, initially, ma-hurt ka ng accusation kung mali ka talaga, or kung hindi ka mali talaga, but then later, you can prove yourself innocent or not anyway. So, strengthen our institutions.
Okay, so last Monday, I attended the Asian Journal. I'm Ali from the Journal Department. Last Monday, I attended the Asian Journalism Research Conference, and one of the speakers spoke about the current context yung crisis of reason na tinatawag. And he said na nowadays, democracy is being used as a weapon against truth. So as media practitioners, what can you say about that? Like, comment nyo, is it really true? Can it be blamed sa atin bilang mga tayo yung nagpapalaganap ng information? And is there a way to counter it? And yun, yung totoo.
Ako madali lang, no? Ang problema ko kasi sa social media, it's a new platform. Fake news is not new, but the platform is new. So I think ang nangyari, aside sa mga likes and Instagram worthy posts, naging quantifiable na tuloy yung what is popular. So when you say democracy is being used as a tool, I can agree with that na parang may tyranny of the majority when it comes to assessing what is true or not. We have to go back. Some people are experts. Some people know better. The sad reality is may anti-intellectualism because all people cannot access the education. So hindi natin ma-escape na may resentment or mayroong classism. Silang na-perceive na mayabang yan, educated, they look down on us. So we have to make education more accessible to fight the tyranny of the majority when it comes to information.
I used to work for a public information office ng isang pamahalaan before. Tapos nandun yung pagpapalabas namin ng balita, tapos alam namin agad yung angulo, kung saan nandiyan dapat tingnan. So tapos may chami kaming media. So, ang pag-alis ko doon, parang na-realize ko na talagang galing ako sa sinasabi ni attorney no, na dapat ma-educate. We're living in a parang spin-friendly environment na lahat ay sanitized, lahat ay mayroon munang multi-layers of editing bago makarating sa atin yung balita, bago makarating sa atin yung so-called katotohanan. Ang problema, hindi ito alam ng mas marami. Kaya nga yung panawagan halimbawa ni attorney na i-educate, oo yun, pero ang hirap pang hawakan kung paano mo ito ilalapit halimbawa sa stakeholders ng edukasyon. So halimbawa, pagka naimbitan ako magsalita, lagi ko sinasabi, pwede bang magkaroon tayo ng at least 6 units sa college na walang ibang tatalakayan kundi pop culture. Ano yung influences sa atin ng media, ng advertisement, ng tagline ng mga politiko, tagline ng mga multinational corporation o mga kumpanya para ma-deduce natin yung mensahe talaga nila. So, ang hirap kasi yung mismong stakeholders ng edukasyon mismo, sila din ay nagmamanipulate din ng kanilang interest. No, so ang nangyayari, it's a lonely battle kasi nagso-social media ako and I somewhat ina-apply ko yung gusto kong sabihin, yung gusto kong maiparating na oy, pag-aralan niyo nga mabuti halimbawa ang sinasabi ng ganitong kumpanya regarding this yung spin na ginagamit nila. Para ma-educate, meron akong ilang followers. Well, siguro 5-digit followers, no? 10,000, kahit di ako nagpapakita ng cleavage. At sinasamantala ko yun, no? Sinasamantala ko sa kanila na pare-pareho tayong mag-aral dito to the point na minsan nagkakakontrahan. But then again, sabi ko, yung kontrahan natin sa social media, maraming bumabasa, ibig sabihin, baka may natututo. May natututo rin. So it's a lonely battle kasi yung mismong sektor ng edukasyon, parang hindi pa ibukas ang isip para ibukas ang isip natin sa ganitong manipulasyon ng pangyayari, ng balita, ng katotohanan. So, yun yung medyo mahirap dito. So, I'm looking at a positive note naman at lahat tayo ay may FB, lahat tayo may nagtutweet. So, pwedeng gamitin yun, no, to voice this concern.
Yung term na manufacturing consent, alam niyo kung saan galing yun, no? Kay Walter Lippmann, sinabi niya na for democracy to function, kailangan daw na merong a group of people na knowledgeable, sabi nga ni attorney, na who will frame the policies and so on. No? Ngayon, medyo anti-democratic yung idea na yun. No? So, ang sagot talaga doon is, i-educate mo lahat. And I agree with my fellow speakers here, na ang kailangan mong gawin is to educate. Ngayon, that has a bearing on social policy. Ano ngayon ang magiging, paano natin ngayon gagawin yung pag-educate sa lahat ng tao, no? And to what extent, no? Ngayon, may laking debate yan. May mga, ang sabi ng CHED, some people should not go to college, for example, no? Merong ganun, ano? Ang tingin ko, everybody should have the opportunity to go to college, no? In the first place. Tapos, ang university education is supposed to be what? It's supposed to develop yung human potential, no? Ngayon, punta, dating ngayon tayo dyan dun sa idea na yung democracy ang sinisisi, I don't think we should be blaming yung democracy. I think we should be blaming yung context in which yung democracy is operating, no? In certain societies. Sa atin nga, incomplete pa yung democracy eh. Sinisisi yung democracy dito, sasabihin, eh kasi masyadong demokrasya. Anong demokrasya? Eh yung mga politikong ine-elect mo, na-elect dahil sa marami silang pera. O hindi naman dahil sa sila'y magagaling, di ba? No? And so on and so forth. No? So, nasaan ang demokrasya doon? No? So, I don't quite believe na yun ang ano eh. Ang, I think that the reason why you have itong epidemic of untruth, no? Untruth and unreason, actually, ang kumakalat eh. Dahil doon sa konteksto, yung nangyari sa US, for example, ang nangyayari sa US, nagkakaroon yung propagation ng untruth is actually an attack against democracy, eh. An attack on democracy. So I think hindi dapat sisihin yung democracy, kundi yung konteksto eh. Yung konteksto na yung mga ruling elite sa US o kaya dito, eh, meron silang concern na ipropagate itong mga alternative truth, no? Doon sa konteksto na merong supposedly demokrasya. So dapat maging critical, sinabi ko 'yun earlier, tapos dapat din maging ano, maging aware tayo ng ano yung kalagayan ng media in general.
Magbabalik ang forum na on alternative facts and multiple truths. Ang DZUP ay kasapi ng KBP, Kapisanan ng mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas, sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka. Madrama ka ba? Huwag nang magdrama dahil mapakinggan mo na ang makulay na kwento ng ating mahal na universidad. Dahil ang kwento ng UP ay kwento nating lahat. Abangan ang UP nating mahal tuwing Martes, alas 6 hanggang alas 7 ng gabi sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Best friend, ano ba namang buhay to? Bagsak ako sa exams kanina. Pinagalitan ako ni mami. Wala pa akong payong kaya basang-basa ako nung umulan. Na-turn off pa sa akin yung crush ko. Tapos, nadukutan pa ako pa uwi ng bahay. Tsaka gumimik ang barkada at iniwan ako. Ay, buti ka pa. Lagi kang andyan. Salamat, best friend, ha? Good boy!
Ang mga hayop ay ating alagaan. Pagkat sila yung mga kaibigang maaasahan. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Araw-araw ba, ito na lang ang iyong naririnig? Eh teka, ito naman, naririnig mo pa ba? Huwag natin hayaan na tuluyang mawala at masira ang ating kalikasan. Protektahan natin ito. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Hindi ka ba napapagod o di kaya'y nagsasawa?
Sa ating mga tampuhang walang hanggang katapusan, napahid ng mga luha, damdamin at puso'y tigang.
Alam mo pala yung kantang yan?
Siyempre naman, ma!
Naku, eh panahon pa namin yan eh! Gusto mo? Pakita kong mga tape niyan?
Ayos! Mag-sound trip tayo, ma!
Oh, sige!
Eto na! Eto na! Eto na!
Walang kupas ang ganda ng musikang Pinoy. Patuloy natin tangkilikin ang sariling atin. Suportahan natin ang musikang Pinoy. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Save the environment!
Yan ang madalas nilang sabihin. Pero paano ba yung gagawin?
Magtanim ka ng mga puno hanggang matapunan lahat ng mga bundok.
Mag-imbento ka ng renewable fuel. Ipatigil mo ang mining at logging sa buong mundo. Do!
Hindi kailangang bongga. Start small. Unplug. Tanggalin sa saksakan ang mga gadgets o appliances na hindi ginagamit. Ang matipid na paggamit ng kuryente ay pagtulong sa kalikasan.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Uy, honey, nanakawan yung kotse ng brad mo, oh. Pigilan mo!
Huwag na natin pakilaman yan. Baka madamay pa tayo.
Ilang krimen na ba ang hindi na ibalita dahil lamang sa takot at pangamba? Makialam at magbigay alam. I-report ang mga insidente ng krimen sa Patrol 117 o sa UP Diliman Police sa numerong 981-8500 Local 113. Bawat report ay malaking ambag sa ating pagpuksa sa krimen. Krimen, ating bantayan upang maiwasan. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
DZUP Special Features.
Nagbabalik ang forum na Of Alternative Facts and Multiple Truths.
Hello po, ako po si Abigail Zara mula po sa Com 130. So yung question ko po ay, ano po sa tingin nyo yung magiging implications ng blogger accreditation sa proliferation po ng fake news? Yung blogger accreditation po, yun po yung binigyan po ng permiso or inaccredit po yung mga ilan po sa mga veteran bloggers na mag-cover po sa Malacanang.
The question is, ano yung impact ng blogger accreditation? Apa. Ano yung possible impact?
Apa.
Well, for me, I'm not that much of a believer in citizen journalism or blogging as a source of news compared to before, nung bago yung concept, parang in journalism, in the academe, sa debate, ang discussion, oh, citizen journalism can check gatekeeping, can be an alternative, etc. I think, ano pa din, people and citizens and bloggers should just remain as sources, if ever, na the business of journalism, pangit nga to call it business, eh, no? Political. The vocation of journalism should undergo or should still be with a group of people who were trained and who have a system of checks and balance. Yung editorial review, yung accountability mo to the editor, to the higher than the editor. So hindi ako masyado well-versed sa ano, no? But hindi kasi ako now fan talaga ng blogging. Although I engage in it myself, no, in a certain sense, because kulang yung layers of fact-checking and verification and accountability lalo na. So parang you're just accountable to yourself. So like Mocha Uson, she was so surprised na nasuspend siya ng DZRM, ng DZRH when she cursed at Lenny. Because, and that's good for us, no? Kasi may layers of control, eh. May layers of review, may ethical standards. Kapag blogging, kapag isa ka lang, you're only accountable to yourself and what you think is right or wrong, no? And yun nga, hindi ka din naman na-train in the philosophy, in the rigors of fact-checking, fact-gathering. So, I think ang impact ng blogger accreditation, one, is to increase or aggravate the problem when it comes to fake news. Of course, some bloggers can have personal integrity to really report correctly, no? But again, the structure will not make it so that is likely to happen. Second, I think ang impact ng blogger accreditation is to further politicize news reporting na wala nang idea ng objective reality. Mas lalong dinidiminish or dinidiscredit ang traditional media. Lalo na with the attacks by Mocha and Peter Chulavinia ng na prostitutes yung mga traditional press, etc. Na dito kayo maniwala. And what is the accreditation? How is the accreditation happening? Is it based on the number of followers? Pasok ako dun dapat. Dapat kasama ko sa Duterte accreditation blogging team. I can travel dapat to the Middle East. But nobody's talking to me. Nobody's connecting with me from Martin Andanar's circle. As of now, clearly, those the bloggers that are accredited or will be accredited are so far really Duterte supporters to begin with. And ako naman, I'm a Duterte supporter, ha? But for what? For some of his policies. Okay? Federalism, etc. Just to, ano, no? Oo, just to say, hindi ako biased against Duterte per se. Okay? But his policies and most of what he represents. But yun.
One of the problems that I can see there is that it can be selective. I mean, you accredit only those bloggers with whom you agree, no? And in fact, that has a bearing on yung proposal na para daw ma-professionalize ang media, you have to set up a licensing system. So makikita mo na dyan yung ano eh, yung possibilities ng abuse noon eh. Kasi this while this is happening, nakaka-credit yung certain bloggers, yung iba hindi. Tapos yung mga galing sa old media, at there have been instances na binlock sila from certain press conferences, no? Kasi sa Center for Media Freedom Responsibility, we follow itong mga ganitong ano eh, developments eh. So, yun ang problema doon. Ang problema is that it can become selective. So, ito na lang, yung gusto ko, ang i-accredit ko. Kasi alam ko, ang opinion niya for me. Pero yung ayaw sa akin, hindi ko i-accredit yan. So, let's think about also yung what it shows about the problems that can arise pagka nangyari nga yung proposal na i-license ang ano, ang mga journalists, no? I don't think that should happen in the Philippine context, no? One of the reasons for this is because I think yung ruling elite natin is particularly irresponsible. Anyway, never mind that.
Hello. I'm Joshua. I'm a second year broadcast communication student. So, 2 days ago, the New York Times released an article titled "Let the World Condemn Duterte." Sorry. Let the World Condemn Duterte. And this article pleads for the ICC to help Duterte, to stop Duterte. Now, after which, the Malacanang has a reaction telling that this article harms the image of the president. So now my question is, how does the current disposition of the government towards international and local media affect or amplify the culture of alternative facts here in the country? Yun totoo. So yun, in light with the Malacanang questioning the credibility of New York Times on their article, so the question is, how does the current disposition of the government towards international and local media affect and or amplify the culture of alternative facts in the country?
The first thing that we must keep in mind is, let's not exaggerate the credibility or the accuracy of global media. Kahit na yung New York Times has made mistakes before, no? For example, yung mentioned ko earlier that they supported yung invasion of Iraq, they later on they apologized for it. No, I mean, they did not apologize for it. They criticized themselves, but they did not apologize to the Iraqis. Because by the time tapos na yung US attack sa Iraq, 100,000 civilians had been killed, no? Ganun yung power ng media. Anyway, let's not exaggerate yung ano, yung kanilang kwan, but at the same time, I think you can on a case by case on a case to case basis, you can find some articles, editorial yun eh, sa New York Times, on a case to case basis you can find certain articles na pagka inexamine mo, pagka kinorroborate mo from other sources, baka accurate, no? Pwede yun, no? I mean, hindi naman lahat inaccurate, no? Hindi naman lahat bias, pero merong bias talaga in many cases. And let me point out one thing. Si Ben Bagdikian, you're familiar with yung media monopoly? Anyway, he was the dean of the Graduate School of Journalism sa University of California, sa Berkeley. And in his book, he describes the U.S. press as a privately owned ministry of information. Ay, ibig sabihin, nare-reflect yung position ng government, no? So hindi din natin pwedeng i-belittle yung ano na yun eh. Baka it reflects the position of the US government, no? And in some instances that has been the case. For example, nung time ni Marcos, Time magazine for example put him on the cover. Pinagpupuri siya ng pinagpupuri, and then later on sinuport nila yung martial law, no? I mean, sinuport ng US ang martial law. Anyway, yung impact nun dito sa sitwasyon dito, masyadong masalimuot yan eh. Masyadong komplikado ang ano, ang mag-e-ensue na sitwasyon, ano? Kasi sasabihin nila na inaccurate ang New York Times, biased ang New York Times. Merong katotohanan yun, pero hindi naman completely totoo yun, ano? Yung ganun, ano? May katotohanan din na baka it is part of an attempt to destabilize. Pwede din yun eh. Pero hindi naman natin ma-establish one way or the other. So anyway, yun ang tingin ko dun sa mga ano na yun. I don't know. What do you think?
Una, editorial yun. Ano? Diliwan talaga yan. Positioning nila. No? Pwede naman gawin din siyempre ng pamahalaan na depensahan yung kanilang sarili. Batay doon sa editorial na yun. The thing is, kung iniisip mo kung ano magiging epekto nito, alam mo yun, ang nagkakatapult yung administrasyon sa dami ng sumusuporta sa kanila ngayon. No? So, kaya kaliwat kanan ng banat nila sa integridad, halimbawa ng ilang media institution eh. So, mula doon sa catapulting na yon, maaari nga nila mabago ang pagtanaw ng karaniwang mamamayan, hindi yun nandito halimbawa sa hall, tungkol saan dapat nang magbasa ng balita. Doon yung prior, yung tanong kanina, yung tungkol sa mga vlogger. No? So yung integridad na tinatanggal halimbawa ng pamahalaan kapag binuupakan niya ang DOS, no? Ipinapasa naman niya doon sa mga vlogger, no? Na okay, i-accredit namin to. At nakakatakot dito, yung karaniwang mamamayan ay naniniwala. Kasi nga, nagra-rally sila behind the popularity of these people. Popularity ha, hindi natin pinag-uusapan yung integridad. Hindi natin pinag-uusapan yung kagalingan. Basta popularidad. So, again, babalik pa rin ako sa fundamental na sinasabi ko lagi na let's try to educate. Why we work as a journalist, as media practitioners, we educate as well. No, kasi again, we're on a losing end, no? Ang lakas-lakas ng boses nitong administrasyon, ang taas-taas nila sa well, yung pananampalataya sa kanila ng mga tao at nagki-create na sila ng fanaticismo at times, no? Na dapat ganun din tayo, no? Ganun din tayo ka-aggresibo sa pag-educate, no? Na hindi mo sasabing masama sila, pero alam mo 'yon, yung paano babalansehin ang pagtanaw sa mga bagay-bagay. Ay sapat na para magnilay sila pagkatapos. At hindi ko alam kung yun ang totoo.
Ako naman, I think yung question mo, no, I think the current disposition of this administration does not affect or amplify fake news and alternative facts. I think it creates it. That's just me, no? I think this administration and Duterte himself, the man, the cult, the leader, the god, no? The personality is so different from all other past administrations and from how past administrations engage the press. So I agree with Professor Teodoro na the local international press cannot be trusted at all time. Of course, we have to be critical. Kaya nga tayo nag-aaral din na basa na natin lahat ng kamalian din nila and we can critique them. But compared to all other presidents except Marcos, no? To an extent, although I think Duterte is now worse than Marcos, Duterte totally discredits local and international press. Even Pinoy at his most stubborn and even at his most ridiculous self, the only point na parang nag-complain siya or naging galit siya sa press, parang you're not being fair. Yun lang sinasabi niya. Never, parang, I don't know if you remember that press ko eh. Yung sa DAP, yung sa mga PDAP, ganun, parang hindi daw fair ang press. So that's always a refrain naman of most politicians and presidents. But Duterte, by himself and through his propaganda team, has discredited the press altogether na don't read them, don't use them as sources. So yun nga, we have to have historical allusions here, no? Kasi personally, this would sound very alarmist. But if you really look at history, I think if we don't act urgently, in 5 years' time or 3 years' time, we could be, I'm not, you know, this will sound ridiculous talaga, that's why I avoid saying it, but I can't avoid saying it na eh. So okay lang magmukhang ridiculous. No? We could become like Nazi Germany. And I'm serious on that. I just watched Albert Einstein's series sa Nat Geo, yung Genius. And my God, the allusions there to what we're experiencing now is just spot on, no? It took Albert Einstein 10 years to realize that the threat is real. When it was already actual na, no? 10 years, wife niya, yung ibang tao, let's leave Germany or let's try to speak out, speak more. si Albert Einstein, I'm a scientist, I'm not a politician. Later niya na-realize nung may personal threat na, I have to leave, na the Nazis are really racist, or ganun. Ano ba ginawa nun? May ganun din, Lugan Press, di ba? The lying press. Ngayon, prostitutes from Moca Uson. Si Sasasot, the international media is destabilizing the Philippines, di ba? I don't know if you know that campaign niya nung, 5 months ago. Duterte himself, he attacks certain personalities, not expressly na siya mismo, but sina Peter Chulavinya, yung mga surrogates niya, lalo na si Pia Ranada of Rappler, and more and some of the other more critical journalists, talagang they've been getting the brunt of discrediting. And I think we have to really differentiate Duterte and his administration na he does not affect or amplify fake news or alternative facts. He himself is fake news and alternative facts. Let's give examples, di ba? 4 million drug addicts, no such thing. We only have 1.8 million drug users. Sa drug users, may casual, may addicts, may occasional, may rehabilitated. PDEA, Dangerous Drugs Board statistics. San kinuha ni President Duterte ang 4 million drug addicts? On top of my mind, yun yung pinakamalala niyang fake news, no? Madami pang iba. I just can't really remember it all because sobrang dami na, from Moca to SAS, Peter Chulavinya. Recent, let's say, si DILG Secretary Sueño, sabi ni President Duterte, illegal yung fire trucks acquisition, that's why I fired Sueño. Corruption, a whiff of corruption, fired Sueño. Ano nangyari? Ngayon, tuloy yung fire trucks deal. Kung may corruption, tuloy ni Duterte, same contract na na-fact-check na to ng mga journalists. So, of course, ako naman, I rely then on news. All of the things I'm saying are not personal knowledge. Personal knowledge to the extent na I read. So, that's my answer. I think we're living in a dangerous times. We cannot say the current administration amplifies fake news because they are the source.
Ang problem natin with Mr. Duterte, with President Duterte, is that merong mga katotohanan yung ibang sinasabi niya. When he says there's corruption in the media, alam natin meron nun, ano? When he says merong bias, alam natin meron nun. Ang hirap din i-generalize, sinasabi lahat. For example, yung sa killing ng journalist, no, sabi niya, lahat ng napatay, corrupt. Hindi totoo yun kasi 10% lang ang medyo may involvement sa mga, sa certain forms of corruption. At least that was the result of a study that the Center for Media Freedom and Responsibility did. But in any case, ang dapat gawin ng media dito is not to be self-righteous na, oh, tinan mo, mga sinasabi nila, mali na naman, and so on, so forth, and so on. Ang dapat, tignan nila yung kanilang mga problema at i-address nila. Yung problems of ethics and professional standards, dapat yan, there should be more attention being paid to that, no? Hindi yung, magaling kami kasi pinoint out namin na ganito karami yung napatay, ano? Okay naman yon, totoo naman yon. Pero pag sinabi ni President Duterte na may mga corrupt dyan sa local level, nag-adumbrate talaga yan kasi talagang maraming corruption sa local level ng media. So dapat i-address yung mga problems na yun para to prevent yung sinasabi ni attorney na in the next 5 years and so on. I think he's a proto-fascist actually. Although I support certain policies din, gaya mo. Pero, for example, yung peace talks, no? No other president has done that. Oh, yun importante yun, ano? Pero yung tendencies towards authoritarianism, I think dapat that should be opposed. And one of the ways through which to oppose that is through yung responsible, accurate, no? And relevant media.
Last question from the audience.
Hello po, good afternoon. I'm Mench Tilendo from the Department of Journalism. So, in line with the emergence of fake news on social media, there is an alarming emergence of what we call social media trolls na generally perceived po as social media warriors who parang assert a common point to the extent na they create harassment or they send death threats online. So my question for everyone is, what really characterizes a troll and how do we engage with them or do we engage with them at all? Yung totoo po.
Okay, na may nabiktima na rin ako ng troll. Do not engage. They feed on it, no? Pagka nag-engage ka, ang totoo, hindi naman kayo magkakaintindihan. May set na yan ng sagot na ibibigay sa'yo. So nakikinabang lang dyan ay yung tumutunghay dun sa thread mo. At saka sila. So the more engagement, mas gusto nila yon. So do not engage. Block, ganyan. But ang nangyayari kasi ngayon, minsan hindi na block ang labanan eh. Minsan nireklamo ka na sa FB. No? At mas na pagreklamo ay ibabagsak yung account mo. So, ano totoo yung troll? Naramdaman ko na ito nagsimula nung ano eh. Nung nakaraan pa. Kaya lang hindi na professionalize ng ganito. So dati, alimbawa nung sa mama sa apa, no, ang dami-daming hindi ko naman kakilala. Naglalabasan na lang dun sa thread. No, na hindi ko kakilala tapos mayroong isang line of ano sila eh, pangatwiran. No, sabihin, kahit hindi ako abogado, ganun nagsisimula, no? Tapos, alam mo na yung katwiran patungo dun sa, ang sasabihin nila ay, suportahan na lang yung pamahalaan. So, hindi ko kakilala itong mga ito at na personal na account, no, na napapunta. So, dati ini-engage ko pa, kasi ang pakinabang nun feeling ko yung sa mga follower, yung sa mga kaibigan ko naman na tumutunghay sa thread. Pero bandang huli, nung talagang maraming at vicious na yung atake, siguro mas vicious yung kay attorney, no? Pero kaya nagpauna ako. Sabi ko hindi dapat sila kumita sa akin. Hindi dapat sila hindi dapat nila ako pakinabangan. Pero ang curious ako, hindi pa ako nakakita ng call center na puno ng mga troll. Pero meron ganun chismis eh, may ganun chismis na lalo na yung mga nagsarang computer shop daw sa mga urban area. So nag-i-employ daw doon mas madali. Pero chismis lang yung sa akin, hindi totoo. Ano?
You ask kung paano ma-identify yung trolls, no? Among others, I think ang basis ko diyan ano eh, yung walang logic, tapos nagmumura, pagkatapos ang sama ng grammar and so on and so forth. Kung may grammar man, ano, ang response, tapos nagpipilit mag-English, hindi naman marunong mag-English, I mean, yung ganun, ano. Ang response ko diyan is, pagka sa Facebook, ina-unfollow ko na lang. Pagka naman sa Twitter, binablock ko na lang. Ayun. I don't engage them eh, kasi pointless to engage them eh. So yung question ng how to deal with trolls, yun ang response ko doon. Pero I think ang response ni attorney mas matindi.
So tama naman yun, no? Don't engage, don't feed the trolls. But fundamentally, sino ba yung troll, no? Mahirap din malaman kasi kung troll. Pwede kasing private lang niya lahat pag hindi ka friend, no? Nakapunta sa thread mo, nag-comment, tapos hindi mo siya makita kung totoo bang tao kasi naka-privacy filter siya. Kung hindi ka niya friend, hindi mo makikita yung laman. Kasi yung ibang accounts ngayon, wise na din, hindi mo na din makikita when the account was created. Yun dati yung guides ko eh, no? So titingnan mo when the account was created, ano yung earliest post niya, titingnan mo kung meron siyang mutual friend or may mga friends siya na mukhang totoo. That takes effort din, no? But dati ginagawa ko yun, now not so much. My rule now is, pag ad hominem ka agad, may laman na ad hominem yung post, binablock ko lang yun or binaban from my page or my personal page. Kapag mayroon siyang sliver, kahit gaano kaliit, an iota of like substance, hindi ko binablock or ina-unhide. Kung kinikritik niya ako na parang bias ako, ganun, okay pa yon. Medyo ad hominem, kung wala siyang sinabi bakit ako bias, pero pwede na. Pero kung yung mga ad hominem na parang Lenny troll, Lenny supporter, dilawan, ganun. So yun yung mga binablock ko. It's really difficult to engage the problem of trolls because some people can automate it. And again, they can spend money to pay for those people who have the time to create troll accounts. The problem with Facebook, hindi authentic yung users. Hindi mo malalaman kung authentic eh. So again, may proposal si Speaker Pantaleon Alvarez to curb fake users. Now, that's also questionable, debatable yung issue na yun. Sa ibang bansa, meron din silang authenticator program na kailangan tied with your phone number na usually postpaid or what. Sa ibang bansa ha, or some other ID. So that's a difficult question how to engage with trolls. Because to begin with, sino ba ang troll? So basta pag ad hominem, don't engage. Kapag substantive, you engage. Pero tingnan nyo din yung pattern ha. Pwede kasing substantive, pero template siya. na parang, oh, anong ginawa ni Pinoy or ano, ganun. Mga fallacy din yun na mukhang substantive. So, kapag mukhang fallacious na template, makikita nyo kung template eh. Titingnan nyo yung iba't ibang news article, usually same content but different name of the accounts. So, don't engage the troll because they use our money, lalo na Bongbong's trolls, to troll us. Okay? Marcos Money.
Yes, thank you, attorney. And that ends our open forum entitled Yung Totoo. Thank you so much to the people who asked the questions at sumakay sa aming format na may Yung Totoo sa dulo. And of course, thank you to our speakers, Attorney Efalces, D. Teodoro, and Dr. Phyllis Reyes.
Napahinggan natin ang forum na All of Alternative Facts and Multiple Truths na inihandog sa atin ng UP College of Mass Communication, Department of Broadcast Communication. Maraming salamat mga kasali, like our Facebook page at DZUP Specials. Abangan ang susunod na episode ng DZUP Special Features from Tuesday to Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. On Thursdays, join us as we highlight iba't ibang tunog ng college radio sa Pilipinas on DZUP Special Features College Radio Edition. Got events you want to be covered by UP Diliman's official radio station? Send your proposal sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. Ako si Gian Nebrojo, magandang umaga!